The Bloomington Public Library plans to hire an architect soon to come up with plans for a scaled-down expansion. The president of the library's board of trustees is Julian Westerhout, and the library director is Jeannie Hamilton. They say they hope to have a proposal for the city council to consider by next summer. The city will have to play a significant role in financing the project. The library previously expanded in 2006, but Hamilton tells WGLT's Eric Stock that only gave the library 25% more space, and while the city's population had nearly doubled since the library was built in the 1970s.
So we've tried to be creative over the years and have looked at inventive ways to use the space, but we really are seeing community needs that we aren't able to meet. One great example is our community room is almost always booked, and it really isn't even the size that we'd like it to be for a lot of our large programs that bring a draw for a lot of people.
So what are some of the examples of how you've had to creatively use existing space?
So recently, last year this time, actually, we redid or refreshed our audiovisual area. And we used to have shelving that was more A-frame shelving. And we've gone a little bit more vertical with that. And we're able to fit in more shelving. So even things like that, where we're just looking at, okay, how can we use the space differently, more efficiently?
So the library, as you alluded to, last underwent an expansion in 2006, and it seems that only bought the library maybe a decade before it was going to have to confront this issue again, as you are now. How long would your next expansion serve the library's needs, or do you have a target for that?
So when we've been talking to architects, what we've really expressed is that we have a desire for flexibility. So we know that libraries have changed, particularly over the last 10 to 20 years, a lot has changed in our world. And so we want to be able to continue to meet those changing needs. So flexibility is key. And hopefully then that would allow us to adapt to the needs as we see them.
And I guess those changes you're referring to are technology-based. Libraries used to be for books primarily. Now they're multimedia centers with all kinds of digital and analog technology. How has it overall impacted the library space needs? You have more to offer, but maybe it's those things don't take up as much space as they used to at one point.
So we still are seeing a huge demand for our print and physical items. Our electronic items only make up about 16% of our circulation. So we're still seeing a pretty strong need for that physical space. So really, we're adding more is what we're doing. And we've seen, too, that there's been more of a demand and desire for a community space for people to meet in. So that may be meeting space for their personal groups or community groups, and then also the desire to come to the library and meet their educational needs. And libraries have always had story time, but that's been expanded upon. We're starting something new called STREAM. So science, technology, reading, engineering, art, and math. So that type of education and somewhat entertainment as well for people.
What might some examples be for STREAM?
So usually the kids are coming into a program and then we might be showing them some sort of technology. So there's we have STEAM kits too, or STREAM kits, where kids can check out. I know one that's really neat that we have is a frog dissection kit. It's a fake frog, but the kids can check it out and they can actually see what the insides of a frog look like. So then the programming builds on those types of things that they can check out.
Yeah, you probably don't want a live frog in a library. I can understand why that would cause problems. So several other sites have been proposed in recent years for a new library. There was the Downtown Catalyst Project, the vacant property near Illinois Wesley, and it was proposed as a possible joint library with Normal, as Normal's library is also looking to expand. Before State Farm found a buyer for its downtown headquarters, that site was mentioned as a mixed-use project that could possibly include a library. Julian, if I could ask you, the board has remained steadfast in its desire to stay at its current location, and you're currently seeking proposals to come up with the designs for that. Why has the board been so intent on wanting to stay at its current site?
Well, it's not so much that we're intent on staying at our current site. It's that we're intent on maximizing the value to the taxpayers and to the community as a whole to get the most out of our limited resources. And most of these other projects, quite frankly, either weren't a particularly good fit and or had a price tag that was several times larger even than our sort of biggest plans. And so they really weren't particularly feasible, and in some cases were an effort, a good effort perhaps, or a good intentioned effort to use the library to help solve other problems, which is not a bad thing if you can have a win-win, but none of these plans really had a basis in reality as far as whether or not they would come to fruition or be a good use of taxpayer dollars.
Was it possibly a kill two birds with one stone approach? Because as it was clear, the library had expansion needs that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, I think that that's sort of the goal and effort. But in most cases, you would, I don't know about killing birds with stones, but
I know it's a bad analogy.
I don't think it really that they really weren't feasible, most of these other options, for various reasons.
So would there be any benefit with possibly merging with Normal's library? Have one great big library since both of you were looking for more space now?
Well, both our board and Normal's board have sort of decided that that doesn't make a lot of sense. It would also be pretty unusual in a community of our size to have one library. If you look at Peoria, for example, Peoria has, what, six branch locations, I think?
I think five.
Five branch locations. You know, a community of our size, you know, with the two communities together with one large library doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stonk with Jeannie Hamilton, who is the Bloomington Public Library Director and President of the Library's Board of Trustees, Julian Westerhout, as the library is exploring its next steps for what has been a long-anticipated expansion. So how much might this expansion cost, and where does the library get the money to pay for it?
So that's something that's a little bit up in the air. So we've heard over the past few years, we have presented several plans to the city council and community. And those plans were coming in about $30 million. And we've heard pretty clearly that the community does support the library, but that price tag is just not something that the community and council has an appetite for right now. So right now, we actually have a request for architects to submit their qualifications to us, and we are hoping to figure out a scaled back plan. And part of that is what price range do we need to can we get to where we feel like the needs are being met, but also that the community is supportive of and has an appetite to be able to handle.
And part of that, you had mentioned earlier, you know, thinking about the 2006 expansion and how long that would have lasted. The 2006 expansion was smaller than it was desired. It was a Band-Aid. It was an effort to try to do something on a small budget. And so it never even in 2006 met the needs of the library. And what we're trying to do is on a scale back from sort of the ideal, since that really isn't feasible at this point, to get a space that's flexible that will take us further into the future than the 2006 did, and to sort of maximize that at a price point that's considerably lower than what our ideal would be.
As far as the space needs go, how much more do you expect that to change in the coming years? I mean, we've gone through a time of considerable growth in the community, but it is somewhat leveled off in the last couple of years, and I don't know how that pairs with participation, usage, et cetera, but how much more space do you think you might need in, say, 2039 as opposed to 2019?
I think that's it's hard. We all want the crystal ball, right, to see what the future's coming. I think that there are things that we can do with our with the selected architect to see what recommended sizes there are for libraries, what trends are we seeing, so we can do some forecasting to try to figure that out and prioritize. We do have something right now called a building program of spaces, and it maps out exactly how much square footage should be for each function of the library. And so that's one of our goals with this new phase of our project, is to go through that and prioritize and really try to look at what do we see the direction of our community going.
Is there a certain amount, a cutoff point financially that you cannot go past? Has that number been identified yet?
I don't think that there's been a sort of hard wall. You know, that is something we are going to have to justify when we do go before council. And what we're hoping to do is, when we select an architecture firm and when we have some plans in the beginning of next year, the first quarter of next year, that we then can sort of say, okay, this is what makes sense, and to continue our dialogue with the council and with the city manager and the city government to maximize the return for the community. But as far as exactly what that number is, we don't know that at this point.
And so how much of an extent will the city be asked to play in this? Nearly half the council, four of its members have only been on the council for about the last 6 months. So is there a sense that the council's sentiment has changed since a couple of years ago, where, as you said, the council made clear that $30 million was a bridge too far for them?
I'm not sure that the council sentiment has changed. I think that, again, as Jeannie said, we've had council and community support for the idea of the library and the library expansion. I do think that given, and in an ideal world, I think that most of the council, the previous council and the current council, would support sort of our ideal expansion, but resources, as always, are limited. There's a lot of things that the city wants to do, and we don't have unlimited money. And so I think that there is a sort of a growing consensus that we need to sort of maximize our opportunities in a sensible way. And I do think that there's support for doing that.
And the library project, definitely, I think that the city, we need that city support. But the library board and staff have diligently saved over the years and been frugal with our expenses. And so we do have what I would say is a fairly healthy capital reserve fund of about $3 million. So the library is planning to contribute, and we would look to the community for some private support as well. But I think that there would be a good chunk of the project does need to be supported by the council, and that means financially too.
So you figure a capital campaign, a public campaign at some point would be part of this as well?
Yes.
As we continue on Sound Ideas with Jeannie Hamilton and Julian Westerhout, as we discuss the Bloomington Public Library's plans for expansion, the City Council recently approved the tax levy for the library that essentially holds the line on the tax rate. And City Manager Tim Gleason, when we talked to him about this a couple of weeks ago, said the city would be willing to help an expansion and didn't want to put a hard dollar amount on it, but likely would need to be in the $10 to $12 million range. The city's finances have stabilized a little bit in the past a year or so. And of course, the council would need to approve that, as we have said. Does that sound feasible if the city were to contribute, say, in the $10 to $12 million range by replacing bonds that are going off the books? Is that a feasible proposition for the library?
We hope so. That's sort of the expectation, the range that we're hoping that things come in. Again, you know, our next step as we're going forth is to see what we can do, see what the architects tell us is possible, and go from there.
It's Julian Westerhout and Jeannie Hamilton of the Bloomington Public Library with WGLT's Eric Stock. Westerhout says the board hopes construction can begin within the next 2 years.